Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, everybody. If you can have a seat, I'm Greg Meyer, and I'd like you to just watch this video from a week ago on Care 11. Go ahead, run it.
I love highlighting local rescue organizations that are working to save abandoned animals. Safe Hands Rescue finds homes for dogs who otherwise might not have much hope. I'm happy to welcome Mark Sherwin and Heather Rendy to the show, along with Leo, who also needs a new home. Good morning. Welcome to all of you.
Morning.
Thank you so much for being here. Give us an idea. What is Safe Hands Rescue in particular within the scope of rescue organizations?
Sure. So Safe Hands Rescue is an all-volunteer run organization that pulls dogs in need from high coast shelters, mostly in Kentucky. And so we bring them to Minnesota, we put them in foster homes, we care for them, we socialize them, we get them assimilated to a home, and then we eventually adopt them out to living homes.
And these are dogs that have really been through a lot and that require additional treatment and help.
Yeah, we have a few dogs that do need a lot of medical treatment.
Okay.
Leo is one of them, and we have a few others in rescue right now. And so they need love and care, but also a lot of medical attention.
Leo, we want to put a little focus on Leo here. He's adorable. And what is his story?
Yeah. So Leo's about 8 to 10 months old. And he was in a neglect situation in Kentucky where he was left with four other dogs in an outdoor run, starved.
Wow.
He was 22 pounds when he came to Minnesota about 3 to 4 weeks ago, where he should have been about 40. He had a non-contagious skin disease, some eye and ear infections.
Wow, look at that before picture, proving how much he's already come, how far he's already come.
He's one of the miracles that we have in Safe Hands, so we're really proud of how much he's, how far he's come, but also he has a little ways to go.
A real commitment. And Heather, you were going to say something about Leo?
Great. I have someone else I'd like you to meet now. Mark and Thor, you want to come and join us? Let's welcome Mark and Thor here as well. This is Mark Sherwin. He was the guy there on Care 11 just a week ago Saturday.
Yeah.
A week ago yesterday. And this is Thor.
This is Thor. He's a little scared of people, but...
He's a little scared of people yet.
Baptism by fire, right?
Yeah. So anyway, I've kind of known that Mark is into this world of animal rescue for some time. I know you just took a trip down to Utah, and we had talked about, boy, what a neat mission that you've got in your life. And then this happened, and I saw this and said, gee, do you want to come and talk with us a little bit at Jacob's Well? So tell me a little bit about all this stuff that you're up to.
Yeah, so...
And about Thor.
Yeah, so Safe Hands Rescue is a volunteer group that I work with. We do rescue dogs, mostly from Kentucky. In Kentucky, where we rescue dogs, there's such a high kill ratio. Since we started rescuing dogs from Kentucky, before we did it, there had a 95% kill rate. Now it's down to 10%. And so we bring dogs like Thor, like Leo, that are puppies, that are very adoptable and very healthy, but also some special cases like Leo, up to Minnesota. We care for them, we socialize them. They all live in foster homes, so they all get adjusted to what stairs look like, what a table looks like, what a vacuum cleaner looks like. And then eventually they will be adopted out to forever homes.
So so what's Thor's situation?
Thor is a big love bug. He's scared of people, but we're working on that. But he was in a shelter in Kentucky where he was kind of on the list to be put down. And so Safe Hands found the need to bring him up, and I volunteered to foster him. So we saved a dog like Thor from being put down.
So you have dogs that are waiting for homes?
We do.
Permanent homes, yeah.
We typically have about 65 dogs in rescue, all ranging from litters that were just born here in Minnesota to older senior dogs, and some with medical conditions, some with some issues. But the majority of the dogs that we bring up are very adoptable and very I'm healthy and happy.
Okay, so that's all great, and I mean, really important. I'm glad you can tell us, but why do you do this?
Why do I do this? You know, and it's funny because,
you
know,
a lot
of
people... You took a vacation to go work at a rescue shelter.
We call it a voluncation, volunteering on vacation. But, you know, a lot of people say, how do you foster? I mean, how do you not get attached? How do you give them up when they get to a forever home? And animal rescue is about animals, but it's also, and mostly probably about people. So when we foster, we know that they're temporary, and we know that they're going to be here, and we do get attached, but then the beautiful thing is when you actually go to the house where he's going to be living forever, and you see the happiness that the family has, the happiness that the kids have if they have kids, and then you actually see the dog get happy, because I think animals are very smart. I think way smarter than we give them credit for. So that instinct to know that this is it, this is my forever home, and I'm going to be loved here is really gratifying. So how I got started was, you know, just rescuing dogs of my own. And then the more I fostered, the more I volunteered, the more it became this huge passion and mission for my life. You know, I have a full-time job, and all the volunteers with Safe Hands have full-time jobs. But animal rescue and doing these things for the animals and the people actually gives me energy and gives me this kind of will to continue to do more and more and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's just great. And, you know, and I think, too, by somehow loving dogs the way they deserve to be loved and cared for helps us be humane. I mean, I think we sort of save our own souls at the same time, maybe as an individual, but also as a society. And that's some important stuff to do.
Yeah.
So you have an event going on this afternoon too, right?
We do. So like I said in the little clip, we are all volunteer run. There's no full-time paid staff. And so we depend on donations from the community and from our neighbors and from our friends that know about Safe Hands or just know about animal rescue to, you know, help dogs like Thor, help dogs like Leo. So we do have a concert this afternoon at 3 o'clock in Edina at the Colonial Church. Musicians from the Minnesota Orchestra and Minnesota Opera will be there, and it's a beautiful concert. And actually, fun fact is about the musicians is most of them have adopted or fostered or volunteered with Safe Hands. So there's a nice partnership that we've worked with for them.
That's really great. Aaron, I think it's neat how you you know, picked up on something we talked earlier from your childhood of just being with dogs and having that, you know, that companionship and that friendship, and letting it grow and discovering. Like, did you know, when did you figure out that you were kind of all about animal rescue?
Well, I knew about animals. I was joking with Greg when we met. So I grew up in a really small town in North Dakota, and there wasn't a lot of kids in the town. So I didn't have a lot of friends just because there wasn't a lot of kids. And so animals were really my friends. So we had multiple dogs. We had cats. We had horses. We raised chickens, rabbits, the whole nine yards. So they were really my companions. So I had this natural connection to animals my entire life. But like not most people, but some people think that animals, when you get a dog or a companion animal, you get them at a pet store. And unfortunately, that kind of perpetuates the issues that we have in our society with animals and puppy mills. But I got my first dog at a pet store. Good job, Thor. Way to boy. At a pet store. But then my second dog I rescued at a rescue agency. And just hearing and seeing the stories of the animals that come and the animals that are saved, and just also hearing the stories of how people are quote-unquote rescued by the dogs that they have rescued as well is really, really profound. And so the more I connected with people, the more I connected with that neighborhood of animal rescue, the more and more I became passionate about it because of animals, but also I became passionate about people in return.
Great. Well, you know, thank you, and thank you, Thor, too. Mark's here most of the time if you want to talk to him, but he's going to be here afterwards. Thor's going to be dandling tables, eating the sandwiches as we make them. And
it's okay.
So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, you can leave a treat for me. You know, so we're spending 5 weeks. We're talking about neighbors, and the first thing we talk about are dogs. You know, a couple of people said, isn't that kind of a miscue? And I'd say, no, don't we need to start by defining neighbors kind of widely? I mean, it's really nice to narrow it and to say, well, okay, I know there's some neighbors that maybe I would rather not have, but But let's start looking at this in the biggest picture. You can pull your Sunday papers on the back. You're going to find that outline. And if you want to follow along in that, you're welcome to. But Mark found his mission in the world with animal rescue. And Janet, I think, was pretty clear, too. She had her mission in the world. Here we talk about Jacobswell having our M&Ms, having a ministry within the church and a mission beyond the church. And I think that's really kind of a key thing. It's really neat that Mark has drilled in on one so clearly. A lot of us don't ever have it maybe quite that clearly. It's also true that the mission that we pick up in the world or the ministry that we find in the church changes from time to time. And that's okay. Things change and our interests change, the needs of the world change. And that simply reflects the reality of what it's all about. But something that I have really discovered, and I think this is really important as we start spending this time talking about neighbors, is to realize that we all do have a mission in the world. We have a place where we are called to touch the world. And not only do we all have a mission or maybe a couple of missions out in the world, we also, this is something that I have found to be really true. And you can, you know, test this through your system and your thoughts and see if it's true with you as well. But I find that the place that we are called to serve, where we are called to have a mission, always connects us with other people in a very unique and a powerful way. I mean, it's like this. I mean, whatever you have as your mission, it's not just, hey, this is fun to use my talents or to use my experience this way. It probably is that, but you're doing it in a way that connects you with people in a way that probably no one else really could connect that way. And by doing that, you make us more one, you make us more whole. And, you know, for some of us, that connection with that other, the connection means others. It's people, probably most often. But sometimes we need to expand that. In, like with Mark, it's dogs. Or for other people, it's other parts of this creation that we all are part of. Now, you may, kind of listening to this, get some premonitions of rope. All right, you know, talking about that. And that is, what is this rope? Rope is our rites of passage experiences. It's our weaving in or knotting ourselves and God and others. And ourselves is, you have some passions. You have experience. You have a personality that fits you for doing something in the world. And it's not just anything, but it's something where God is leading you to try to make the world, to reflect the world the way God sees it, not just the way we do when it's easy. And that always has to do with somehow making us, bringing the other into that. You know, and those are the three strands of this rope, and I think that's some pretty important stuff. So what I want to do kind of quickly, because we've got to leave room for making sandwiches this morning, but just talk a few things about who are our neighbors. And the fact that these missions in the world connect us with the other is simply because it's a thing that you hear us talk about a lot, and that is that we were created for community. We are not islands. And you guys are all amazing people, but you are not complete. Now, by that, when I say you're amazing but you're not complete, I don't mean you're really lacking. I just mean that you are part of a whole. And you are not whole until you are together with these other people, with all the others, with the bigger world that God is weaving you with to make you whole. God didn't create us as islands. God did not create us as, you know, 6 billion people on this planet that are all replicas of each other. God put us here as one whole where we live together, serve together, find our giftedness, support each other, you know, pick ourselves up off the ground together and do that and figure out how that all works. So we're talking today just to kind of kick off this thought about, you know, being neighbors with that question, who is my neighbor? Now, you may recognize that line. That line comes from a famous story about Jesus in the New Testament where, and you're going to find it. In fact, I would encourage you, listed on the right-hand side of your outline there with a little squiggle place. It's in Luke chapter 10. Read those verses. In fact, I'd say read them every day. It's going to take you 15 seconds. Read it every day and just let the story continue to unfold as you read it over and over and over again. You can do that along with your soap readings. But in that story, this man comes up to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, no, what did the law? What is God's word tell you? And he says, well, you're supposed to love your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you're right, do that, and you're going to be really living. And the man, you can feel a little reluctantly, then says, okay, I know I gave the right answer, but I'm not real comfortable with my answer. Because all now, I've got to devote my whole life to loving God, but I know how to do that. I just follow laws. But I have to also love my neighbor like I love me. I'm having a hard time limiting that enough that I'm comfortable with it. And so he throws the question back at Jesus and says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gives him an answer. He tells him that parable. And really, what it all gets down to, I'm not going to recite the parable to you. We'll be kind of walking through this as we go along. But Jesus basically says this. He says, you know, neighbors aren't a choice. You don't get to pick whether you're going to have neighbors or not. In fact, you know, that was in the little pre-thing on the service. The question that, you know, Jesus got confronted with was, who is my neighbor? But we know today with our, you know, the global economy, the global realities that we are all in, the question isn't who is my neighbor. The question is really who isn't my neighbor. Everybody's my neighbor, and it's really getting rubbed in our faces. You just can't avoid it anymore. And how do we live with that? How do we deal with all that? In Genesis, the very, very beginning of the Bible, talking about it isn't meant to be taken literally as science or as history, but these stories that try to tell us about what is humanity's purpose, what is humanity's role in the world, you get this very beginning. There's Adam and Eve. They have two children, Cain and Abel. And if you know the story at all, Cain gets, we don't get very far. We barely got the second generation going, right? And Cain is jealous of Abel, and he kills him. And then God comes up to him. It's just as Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. Then the Lord says to Cain, where is your brother Abel? Like, God doesn't know. And Cain says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? So I'm going to throw this back to you. What is God's answer? When Cain says, am I my brother's keeper, what does God say? Anybody know? Like, you probably all say, like, I think I know the story, but I can't think what God says. It's because God doesn't even answer the question. I mean, it's kind of the Bible's way of saying, that was a dumb question. You know? God just goes on. Are you your brother's keeper? Of course you're your brother's keeper. We are all our brothers and our sisters' keepers. Being neighbors isn't a choice. It is what we are with each other. Now, that sounds like a huge responsibility. How do I care? How do I stay in relationship with all these neighbors? I mean, not only all people in the world, but all parts of creation. Well, here's the thing. Yeah, it is a big responsibility, but it's also an enormous gift for you because neighbors aren't just a choice. They are also your completion. That's what we were talking about earlier. By yourself, you are just nothing. You wouldn't be able to survive. We're created for community. You need your neighbors to make you whole. They are your completion. Here, a group life is a way for us to kind of begin to grapple with some of that. Being a neighbor is something I think we all want to do, but it's really, really hard. And group life is not the only way to be able to grapple with some of these questions and to, you know, not only practice being, but maybe even practice on them. You practice on your group sometimes. Like, how do I care for people where it's sort of in my control? And I can really just sort of be myself with it so that I can learn how to do it in the rest of the world. Group life isn't the way for everybody, we know that, but we find for a lot of people the significant relationships there where you get to learn and to try things and ask your questions and be yourself and be known and be cared for while you care for others is a pretty key thing. Talk to people. There's going to be some people at your table today while you're making sandwiches that are in group life. And if you've never tried it, if you're not sure, you know, how it works, talk to people. You can also talk to Melissa over there. Yeah, she's sort of our group life guru or czar. You go by the term czar, right? Yeah, okay. So, but she knows a lot about it. And, you know, if you say, well, there's not a group that really fits me, well, let's find a couple of friends. Start one that does fit you. So that can be some good stuff. So, you know, Mark's mission, his God-filled passionate love is caring for dogs. Now, we aren't going to spend all 5 weeks talking about dogs, all right? There's a couple weeks about cats. I know, I should have the obligatory cute cat picture on the screen. Sorry, I didn't think about that in time. But it is good to stretch it, like I said before. We need to think big about this and about the larger ecosystem that God is weaving us into. And that is, that's what Nick's fill-in is, that you are a neighbor of creation. A neighbor of creation, all creation. You know that overused Bible verse, John 3:16? For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. The Greek word there is cosmos. Right? That's actually a Greek word, cosmos. For God so loved the cosmos. Now, cosmos does include people, but there are a lot of words in Greek that would mean humanity or people, or others, you know, stuff like that. For some reason, this is quoting John, Jesus didn't use those. Jesus chose the word cosmos. I think God's stretching us. God is saying, you know, it's great to love people. In fact, that's really, really hard to love all people and to be neighbors of all people. I realize how hard that is, but that's really incomplete, and it's not going to work until you fit into this larger system. In fact, Jesus continues to drill at home. So when this man comes up to Jesus and says, well, then who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells him the parable of the Good Samaritan. He picks out the story about a Samaritan. Why a Samaritan? Because Jews don't like Samaritans. I mean, if you think of in your own head, who is a stereotype of people that I really despise, or at least I always find myself rolling my eyes when I think about them or hear about them? That's who Jesus picked out to be the hero of the story, the one who was a neighbor. God says, this isn't going to be easy. It's not convenient. It's not comfortable, but it is the way it is, and I want you to stretch around that. We're going to spend this time talking about neighbors, trying to help ourselves, you know, get beyond those fences, to not have groups of people that are in it or out of it, but to be doing it. We're going to be talking about dealing with neighbors we don't like. We're going to be talking about dealing with neighbors that we're afraid of. We're going to be talking about neighbors that in a very particular way can help us be more whole and help us make better life choices. We're going to be talking about how we can use our physical environment to not keep people away from being neighbors and actually turning them into strangers, but helping us be neighbors with them as well. So there's one other thing about neighbors that I think we need to do as we start answering this question is, who is my neighbor? And that is another piece that Jesus wove in just so tightly in all of his teachings, but certainly into this parable as well. And that is, we don't just have neighbors, right? We don't just have neighbors. We are called to be a neighbor, all right? There's a difference between having a neighbor and being a neighbor, just like there's a difference between having a church and being church. Being a neighbor means that you are acting, living in neighborly ways. See, neighbor isn't just a designation, it's a relationship. It determines the way we behave with someone. The conversation that Jesus had with that man, which set off this whole relationship, and ends up, you know, that sets up this whole story that Jesus tells him about what it means to be in relationship with neighbors, all springs off of that thing that the man had to admit, and that is, we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves, right? It's something God actually wants us to do and to be about. Now, that's not a theory, that's an action. It's really tempting for me to say, well, all these people are my neighbors, I know that, but I think I'm going to live in such a way that I can kind of keep out of range of those people so that my neighborliness isn't ever called on. Have you ever played that game? I love these people, but if I just kind of don't acknowledge that they're there too much, I won't actually have to do anything about my supposed love for them. Being neighbor isn't a theory. It's an action. It's something we will never do perfectly. It is something that we simply always grow in, and that we ask for forgiveness and God's, you know, understanding and the support of other people to do it. But we are called to love one another. And in fact, that parable... So Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. You're going to go home and you're going to read it every day this week. And he gets to the end of it. You have his story. And he turns to the man who had asked him the question in the first place and says, so which one of these proved to be a neighbor to the man who had been beaten up by the robbers? And the man says, well, I guess it's the one who showed him mercy. Or let's put that in real language. I guess it's the one who bothered to stop and take care of him. And Jesus' response to it is simply, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Not you have the right answer, but go and do likewise. So today we want to do a little of that. In fact, we want to have this whole series be aimed at not just knowing something, but doing something. And today, one way, it's a pretty simple way that we would like to, you know, embrace some of our neighbors that we can touch lives of is by making some sandwiches. And Jeffrey, would you come up here and join me? There, I think this is live for you.
Perfect. Good morning.
This is Jeffrey Olson, Jacob's Well guy. Have a seat, stand up, whatever you want.
Perfect.
So this is how this kind of popped up. I don't know exactly what started off, but we did a sandwich making thing on did the service right before New Year's Eve, and then I was stalking people on Facebook one day, and I saw Jeffrey's post of making sandwiches. I think at your daughter's house.
My daughter's house.
Tell us what was going on, or.
Well, truthfully, I think I was inspired from the last event here when we made 1,000 sandwiches. And I was having a conversation with my daughter, and she's always looking for ways to educate and teach my three grandchildren that there are neighbors out there that have needs and may be vulnerable for a myriad of reasons, and why it's important to care about them and to do things for them. And my grandkids are really blessed, and we thought this would be a perfect opportunity to draw them in and have them make sandwiches and maybe learn a lesson and get a little education as well. So we sat down and we created 150 sandwiches. They each got to invite one friend, and during the event we just had a conversation about, you know, why some neighbors are in need, what are the things that, you know, people can do to help. I think after we got beyond my granddaughter Vivian saying 100 times she hated bologna, we finally completed, and I think it was just a good event. So
you can bet they'll remember that for a long, long time.
Actually, they still talk about it, and I've told them I wish they would have been available for today, but that they've asked about doing it again. So, yes.
So I saw he had done this, and then like the next Sunday, I said, hey, what if you helped us do it here at Jacob's Well again sometime? And he kind of said, yeah, I suppose. And I said, how about this Sunday after Easter? So Jeffrey is totally, and I think Carol has helped you and some other people have helped you pull this all together, but has done this complete, just got it all set up for us. So what we're going to do, we got a couple of songs, and then we're going to invite you to come down. And if you have to leave, you have to leave. But if it won't take long. Like you say 800 sandwiches, that's going to take us forever. No. 10 minutes, I bet, and we'll be about done with it. So it's not going to take long. But what do we need to know to be able to do this?
Okay, and like I say, I'm a novice at doing anything this big. But it just very quickly, we'll start with the bread, open the bread. We need to keep the tie and the bag, and that would go to the end of the table. And then we will move the bread to a plate, and then in kind of assembly line process, two pieces of meat go on each sandwich, a piece of cheese in the middle, the sandwich is put together, and then it's inserted into a zip bag, and then the sandwiches are placed back into the bread bag. They're about 10 per bag, and then resealed. And then at the completion, we have to put a date on it because these sandwiches are stored. So put 4/12/2015, and then four loaves will go back into a paper bag. And there will be a lot of people around because I'm sure there will be a lot of questions and things like that.
Right.
So
so put gloves on. You got some little plastic gloves. Obviously, two pieces of bread, two pieces of meat, one piece of cheese goes in a little bag. Then they go back into the big bag, Ziploc tied. Again, and not Ziploc, but twist-tied.
Twist-tied.
And 4/12/2015.
And four loaves in a paper bag.
Right. And I think we got plenty of people. There's 11 tables out here. So just come and there'll be a line on each side. Got some questions? So there's, if you will have a glove on. So oh, okay, so don't rub your nose. Yeah, don't model after me.
Okay.
Right, don't sneeze on your glove. If you do, get a different one. Thank you, that's good. You know, there's been another question a lot of people have asked. I wouldn't really want to eat this, you know, two pieces of white bread and salami and pretend
bologna.
Cheese. Bologna.
Bologna and pretend and, cheese.
So can't we make something a little nicer? And what's the response to that, Jeffrey?
Yeah, actually, I got that through an email that came through Greg, and I also got 8 other emails on the exact same thing. And I think all of us have thought that, and I thought it the last time we made them here. So I did a lot of research, and I talked to two organizations, the two largest organizations, the Sandwich Project and the Sandwich Man. And between the two, they distribute millions of these sandwiches, and they're greatly appreciated, and they're greatly needed out there. But for their processes as far as storing, freezing, and the logistics, it just works. It's something they require. We're not choosing to make the sandwiches with these ingredients. That's what they require because it's best for what they're doing, especially in light of the fact that they're doing millions of them and they're being stored. The other issue that they do raise is a sandwich like this costs about 67 cents. If we made them like maybe you all want to eat one, they could be upwards of $5. And they need to have volunteers to volunteer millions of sandwiches, and that would have a great impact on the number they get.
I guess when you're really hungry, this is a good meal.
Exactly. And they said they love them. They're greatly appreciated. Okay. So
I think that's good to know as well. And also, you know, if you can have an extra person, I'll give you a little more bearing on this later, but if you can get an extra person at your table, it could be one that handles both sides or maybe one extra person on each side, and that person is the hope person. Because we aren't just handing out sandwiches today, we're handing out hope. And I think that's what we wish for our neighbors, not just a meal, but we're hoping for their futures. So here's the idea. If you have an extra person that can do this, or maybe the person who puts the last piece of bread on, you put your hand back on the sandwich and you just say, whoever gets this sandwich, may there be hope in your life. So let's add a layer of hope. It dresses up, you know, the bread and bologna and cheese a little bit too, to have a little bit of hope in there. So maybe that can be something that we add to those sandwiches as well. I think that's good. Thank you for doing this.
We'll have extra supplies down there, and like I say, there are people all around to help. So
great.
And you're welcome.
All right. Thanks much, Jeff.
Thank you.
Well,
hey.
Yeah. Go ahead.
They go to an organization called the Sandwich Project, and they then distribute them to about 15 different organizations that provide them, most notably to the homeless.
They go to shelters and directly, like on street, people that are doing distribution and things like that.
And if anybody's more interested specifically, just go to the Sandwich Project, Google Sandwich Project, and you'll see the organizations that they support.
Great. You don't use the ends of the bread, yeah, the crusts. So, thank you. All right, there'll be people helping out at the tables as well. So we'll get a little bit of music here, and before we go to that I think helps us do it. And while we're singing this next song, and actually we're going to have you do the offering, you can put your communication cards in there as well. We thank you so much for supporting Jacob's Well and helping us be live alive financially as well. But you'll find on the bottom of your outline on the Sunday paper, just like it says, I don't always think of myself as being a neighbor too. And it says, circle the ones that apply to you. And, you know, those are, and if you have a child with you, maybe you can read through that list or even add to it yourself and talk about who are the people. I mean, there's people that it's easy to be neighbors to, and there's the people that we don't always think about being neighbors to. So go ahead and take a few minutes with that. And knowing that, you know, God is with us on this as we learn to figure out how to do it. So go ahead and pass the offering. We're going to sing a song, and we'll make sandwiches in a minute.